This is a podcast from BFM 89.9, the business station.
8:36 a.m. You're listening to The Morning Run. I'm Shazana Mokhtar with Wong Xiaoning and Keith Kam. In half an hour, we have the opening bell where we check out how Bursa Malaysia begins the trading day. But before that, we are turning our attention to the issue of firearms in the country. Over the weekend, Malaysians were shocked to hear news of gunshots being fired in KLIA Terminal 1. Selangor Police Chief Hussein Omar Khan said the suspect fired shots at his wife with an illegally smuggled 9mm semi-automatic obtained from another country.
And despite the suspect being arrested in Kota Bharu yesterday, concerns still remain over guns within the Malaysian context. And this comes after news earlier this month concerning an Israeli man suspected of gun trafficking and after he was found in possession of trafficked ammunition and firearms at a KL hotel.
Now, considering Malaysia's extensive legislation and extremely strict attitudes towards firearms, we ask, what does Malaysia gun control look like, and more importantly, does it go far enough?
For a better understanding of this, we have on the line with us Goh Chia Yi, a criminal lawyer. Chia Yi, good morning. Thanks very much for joining us. Can we start off with just getting a basic understanding of what are the laws governing firearms in Malaysia, and how difficult is it to actually own a gun in the country?
Hello, good morning. Thank you for having me. So just for a start, the laws governing firearms in Malaysia specifically is the Arms Act 1960 as well as the Firearms Increase Penalty Act. So these two legislations are the main legislation governing the possession and use of arms in Malaysia as well as ammunition in Malaysia. So in terms of the difficulty in obtaining a license to operate a firearm or to have in your possession an ammunition, it's actually quite difficult to have that license. Mm. Although the process is quite an open process, if you head to the PDRM website, you're able to find a section which actually provides you the forms you can fill in. So they will specify, let's say, for example, if you're looking to have a license to carry a pistol or a separate license to carry something like a rifle or a shotgun, you can fill in the relevant form. You can declare your mental state and you can provide certain information that they're requesting from you according to that website. The problem is that anybody can apply, but there is difficulty in getting approval. Because your approval, firstly, will have to be, you make your application to the head of the police district, who will then forward your application to the head of the police state, who will then forward the application to the chief, to the IGP for consideration. Some of the considerations, conditions that they consider is that you must be above the age of 18, you have no criminal record, and you are mentally fit. So the purposes for having those licenses could vary from sporting purposes, hunting purposes, safety purposes, and for taking care of your property or the safety of your company.
So Chai, individuals obviously have to go through this licensing process. There'll be background checks, I suppose health checks as well. But how thorough are these checks? Do you think firearm laws in this country should be updated at this point?
Well, a lot of the approval of this is done through what we call like closed process. So we don't really understand what is the deliberation behind the scenes in relation to the approval of these applications. But from the general public's understanding of the situation, it's generally quite difficult to get a license for personal use unless you're looking for something like operating a shooting range and so on. But even then, they may take a very long time for you to even get a reply from the police. Mm. Let's say, for example, you get a reply that isn't very favorable in the grant of your license. You can appeal that to the Home Ministry and so on. So in terms of the granting of licenses in Malaysia, I think that we have adequate laws to ensure that there is a strict issuance of the license. So in terms of the law, I believe we have enough provisions there to ensure that the provision of the license is strict. But in terms of the exercise of that law, sometimes can be questionable, and sometimes the issue may be more of a border issue rather than regulation of firearms in Malaysia.
So Chia Yi, do we know at all how many licenses are out there in Malaysia? How many people really own guns? Because it seems a rather, for example, I don't know anybody that's got a gun license. So how frequently is it granted?
I don't believe it's very frequent. Mm. I mean, there is no specific statistic on firearm owners in Malaysia. Although sometimes you always hear, you know, this datuk would say, I got a firearm, mm-hmm. you know. So one will often question, like, would you need to be of a certain status or position in order to be able to obtain that license? there was also something that many years ago that was reported by Sarah Report. Apparently, what the IGP back then, his daughter had possession in some kind of firearm distributor company. So the question is, how can we avoid any bias in terms of the grant of this license? And also, the easiest way to get a firearm is to join the police. You know, so there's also a question in relation to the use of firearms by the police, because you have, let's say, for example, deaths caused by shootings by the police and so on.
And I'm curious, if you do have a gun license, what are the responsibilities attached to it, actually?
Well, if you have a gun and a license to own a gun, you also need to actually apply to have a certain amount of ammunition, what type of ammunition. And every year you have to apply to renew that license. Mm-hmm. And when you apply to renew the license, they may ask for your competency in using a firearm. So some people will join a club for firearm owners, and they will go there and they'll do their training. The police won't provide training, but you can go for private training and so on. But there's also laws that regulate the use of these firearms by people who are licensed to. Let's say, for example, if you're drunk and you have a firearm, you could technically be imprisoned for up to a year, or maybe just even like ₱1,000 fine. Mm-hmm. So there, if your behavior with a firearm, despite having a license, is something that's dangerous, you could also be penalized under the law. Mm-hmm. So firstly, owning it is one thing, and then the renewal is another as well. And then there's a regulation on the ammunition, which is very important. Ammunition itself, if you own it illegally, can be an issue. And when you renew your license, when you use the ammunition, you have to actually return the blanks to the police and so on. So you cannot keep the blanks after you use it, and you need to record your usage of the firearm.
And Chia Yi, presumably we don't manufacture guns and ammo in this country. What are the laws governing the import of these things here, and you know, the setting up of a place of business to sell them as well?
Actually, I do believe that we have firearms manufacturer here in Malaysia. Like, we have a homemade brand that can go up to, like, back then, from what I could gather, it's about ₱4,000 for like a firearm. So there are some manufacturers here, although I do think they're very strict in terms of who they sell. Sometimes if you want to purchase the firearm itself, you need to make an appointment and you need to show your license up front, so they won't even entertain walk-in customers. But you could actually literally just Google online for people who are selling guns in Malaysia, and you'll find these companies. In terms of the importation, definitely I think that there's an issue. Because sometimes in certain cases, the police will find out that the ammunition that's used belongs to a certain country, or there's a certain trademark there that shows that it belongs to other countries. So the importation of it seems to be the problem at the moment, because I think there's a border issue when it comes to the moving of illegal goods and stuff across the border.
So exactly that, Chiayi. What are the penalties for being in possession of an illegally obtained firearm? And I do believe it doesn't really matter whether it's real or fake, right? And in the past, it did involve a mandatory death penalty for certain sentences. Has that all been changed?
Yeah, you know, I mean, they've removed the mandatory aspect of the death penalty for other cases. But in relation for the Firearms Increased Penalty Act, they've actually removed the death penalty as a whole. So right now, they're looking from 30 to 40 years. The ones that were imprisonment for life earlier, it's now been substituted with up to 40 years. So, for example, let's say if you possess a firearm, under Section 8 of the Firearms Increase Penalty Act, you could face up to 14 years imprisonment. And this is for real firearms. If you're talking about imitation, firearm imitations, there is a difference. Because mostly the laws governing the firearm imitations is involving, let's say, for example, the use of that fire, that imitation. If you use that imitation to cause fear to someone that you're about to commit what they call a specified offense, a scheduled offense, then you will be liable to be punished. So owning a fake gun, let's say you buy a fake gun from Mr. DIY, it's not going to get you prison. Don't worry about it. But if you use the fake gun somehow in a way that, you know, they start to fear for their life. Maybe you're standing like 2 meters away, you can't really see, it's Mr. DIY gun, right? And then they think that you're about to rob them. Then you're liable to a very serious offense. You know, Section 3, the discharge of the firearm itself is bringing you up to 30 to 40 years. So obviously, if there may be some gaps here in the law, let's say, for example, because the law, the discharge of the firearm must be for a scheduled offense. So a scheduled offense would mean like robbery, extortion, housebreaking, and so on. But if you shoot someone to kill them, that would be attempted murder or murder, you know. But if you shoot someone and you can say that I wasn't intending, you can show that nobody would have expected your shot to kill someone. It would have been either voluntarily causing hurt to somebody. But if no hurt was caused, then, you know, you'll fall under a lesser offense and so on. So, but there are different tiers. So let's say, for example, I think the easiest way to catch someone would be on the possession. And then secondly, would be on the discharge. Even ammunition itself, I know of a case where somebody brought a bullet shell from Vietnam and they were stopped at the airport because the possession of the bullet shell is one bullet shell was considered to be unlawful possession of ammunition. You know, so there is a lot under the law for offences involving firearms.
Chia Yi, thanks very much for speaking with us. That was Go Chia Yi, criminal lawyer, talking to us about the regulations that apply to guns in Malaysia. There's a lot of them, actually. We have got very strict controls, something to keep in mind as we, I suppose, read more of these stories about gun violence in the country. It is 8:47 in the morning. We're going to head into some messages. When we come back, we will be discussing the proposed legal amendments to recognize medical specialists from the Parallel Pathway program. Stay tuned, BFM 89.9.
You have been listening to a podcast from BFM 89.9, the business station. For more stories of the same kind, download the BFM app.